So if we come to the biblical text, I'm reading from the Kempton translation, and it's Genesis chapter 42, verses 1 to 5. And Jacob saw that there were rations in Egypt. And Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there are rations in Egypt. Go down thither and purchase rations for us from thence, and we shall live and not die." And the 10 brothers of Joseph went down to purchase grain from Egypt. And Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brothers, for he said, "Lest harm befall him." And the sons of Israel came to purchase in the midst of those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So the name Jacob means "he restrains." And this connects with his representation as the truth in the natural mind that makes up what constitutes the church there. And the idea of restraint captures the functional aspect of the natural. It's being something on a lower level, serving as a boundary by which what is higher can be brought into a form that is graspable to a lower level of consciousness. This is how the natural serves the spiritual. For the natural mind is the means by which those things belonging to a realm unseen can be brought to awareness so as to be seen or perceived within the natural level of awareness. The idea of restraint, bringing awareness in the sense of adding to what is known, means a limitation or a paring down of what would otherwise be overwhelming, and therefore also carries the idea of exclusion, of only presenting a partial or limited view. Spiritual insights presenting within the natural level of mind can only do so where there is some form of restraint. Some things are invariably held back. So the image of Jacob grasping the heel of Esau is wonderfully illustrative of this, and of course this played out further in the story of their lives when Jacob stole Esau's blessing as the firstborn through deceiving their father, Isaac. So taking all things in the word as describing psychological or spiritual realities, the term Jacob, or for that matter any other name in the word, doesn't refer to a historical person, but to psychic structures or ideas organized around some affection that serves as a basis for perceiving both those things that are in agreement with that affection and those that are not. Jacob here is that which is sensitive to the things of the word at a natural level, or the affection for those things that sit at a factual level. So by Jacob, we have represented a belief structure that is drawn from the letter of the word that gives a natural form to what inflows from the divine. Essentially, at this point in the story, he can be understood to be the knowledge of the word that you hold to that is still understood in terms of person, place, space, and time. So in other words, what is understood naturally. From a logopraxis process point of view, he is what we glean when we first come to a reading and we are caught up in the historical aspects of the story, so haven't yet seen how the story relates to our inner states of life. But the thought is there, sitting in the background, the knowing that the word has to be read apart from its historical space-time husk if we are to see its connection so far as its application to our states of mind is concerned. We see then that the historicals of the sense of the letter act as a restraint on seeing what is deeper. We all know this from our direct experience of working from the text, but we also know that it serves as the very foundation and container that enables the spiritual meaning within to be accessed. So without it, nothing is really possible so far as the spiritual life is concerned. In logopraxis, the spiritual meaning is what enables the inner work of self-examination and repentance to happen because it enables things to be framed and, more importantly, applied psychologically to our states of mind, and so is able to support the regeneration of the human mind. The opening verse here describes a psychological state in which there is a growing awareness that something is seriously lacking. This is a spiritual famine that motivates a deeper examination of our life in the hope of finding what can restore us to a sense of meaning and purpose when that has been lost. The Hebrew word for famine can be translated more literally as hunger. So speak spiritually to a state in which there is a lack of good. The process is the initiation of a required change of state. But the experience is a general sense of something lacking. At this point, it presents as a vague feeling of all not being well, with no clear sense of what the specific issue might be. Like Jacob, we know that the answers lie in Egypt, or within the letter of the word. The natural mind, in the form that it is in this stage of its spiritual development, is in a well-established pattern of going to the letter or to others who have knowledge of the word to draw what it can to sustain its life. What might not be so clear, though, is that this pattern, with its focus on a more external engagement with the text, is drawing to a close so that a more interior relationship to the word can be established, in which more interior things can be worked with. To the degree that the word is held to be from the Lord as something separate from him, then to that degree internal things related to states of mind remain held back. The process described in this chapter is one of a movement toward coming to see the Word as the Lord himself present with us. Once this shift occurs, people then go to the Word directly to obtain the doctrine for their own life and look less to others as the arbiters of what their doctrine should be. And you can read more of that in the Arcana Celestia number 5402. So of Jacob, it is said that he sees that there is rations in Egypt. In the Arcana Celestia 5400, it states, the signification of seeing as being the things which are of faith. So the psychic structure represented by Jacob sees by means of what belongs to faith. Also, the things of faith are the things it sees or is sensitive to. So it recognizes that the word is the primary source that is able to sustain a spiritual life. But there is another aspect to the idea of restraint active here. There is a belief within the natural psychic structure that holds that spiritual things can be entered into purely through acquiring more facts from the word. The belief that the accumulation of knowledge about the spiritual life is what constitutes a spiritual life needs to be exposed for the falsity it is if things are to move forward. One aspect of this famine dynamic being at work is a persistent sense of emptiness when engaged in reading and study of the word. This may lead to a lack of motivation to engage with it. And this despite knowing intellectually, seeing from the faith Jacob represents, that it alone holds what can fill us spiritually. However, what is not clearly seen yet is that gathering facts, even from the word, an activity that was of order to sustain prior states of development, in and of themselves cannot now satisfy the kind of hunger belonging to the state of spiritual development being unfolded here. This state represented by the famine is a catalyst for bringing into being a new phase in the evolution of spiritual consciousness. And this is true regardless of the scale. So what's stated here could apply to the logopraxis experience over a 2-week session cycle, or to a broader scale of development over a lifetime and or anything in between. It's not that facts of the letter of the word are not important. They are, in fact, essential as a basis for spiritual life. They serve as a foundation from which access to the interior life of the human mind and its states is made possible. Without this access, the regeneration of the human mind would not be possible. Our work in logopraxis initially involves coming to the text, to the factual level of the word, as something to be read. The natural is involved, as facts of the word are gathered and organized to fit into our current understanding of things. And as it enters the structures of the mind, the information is held at first in the memory and treated of as any other subject of external knowledge. And if it remains there, it simply sits in the memory as something passive and so goes no further. This state is what is represented by the sons of Jacob, born of Leah. But if we take what we have gathered from the word and begin to reflect on how it might be applied, a new understanding of the facts of the word begins to arise. This is the beginnings of the development of doctrine pertaining to life, or to the practice of truth so far as their application to the life of the mind is concerned. In logopraxis, this stage can be thought of as the identification of a principle and the drawing of a work focus or a task from the text. We now have the development of an understanding of doctrine that supports spiritual practice, but it has yet to be acted upon, which is represented by Benjamin remaining with Jacob while his brothers travel to Egypt. Just a reminder that Benjamin was born of Rachel, who represented the interior affection for truth. So a love for understanding truth in a way that carries a focus on the inner life. It is the movement of Benjamin into Egypt that signifies the effort to act upon what is known. This effort to practice elevates the facts drawn from the word from out of the memory to become something living and supportive of more interior principles of spiritual life. It also leads to those more externally focused aspects of spiritual life represented by the other brothers and Jacob also being brought into a new form supportive of a more interior life. And this is represented by their renewed relationship to Joseph. But in order for all this to happen, the natural has to relinquish its hold on the idea that by some power in itself, it can affect all this. Or, as illustrated in the story, Jacob has to release his hold on Benjamin. All that pertains to the spiritual life is ordered by the Lord alone through the influx of the divine into what is his own, drawn from the word within the human mind.